I am Amy Baker, and I get the privilege of being with you this afternoon for this session. I have been at Faith since 1981, so I am one of the dinosaurs around here. I've been on our counseling staff for over 30 years, I think. This afternoon, I'm going to spend some time with you just thinking about abused as a child, suffering as an adult. This can be a pretty intense subject, so let's just go to the Lord and ask for his help and his grace as we think about just what some of those who have been abused experience. So, Lord, we just come to you thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercies that are new every morning. We're thankful for your power, which is so desperately needed by those who have been abused. And, Lord, we're thankful that you are a God who can bring beauty out of ashes, who can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Thank you that you lift up the needy from the dust heap, and thank you that because of that, your fame can be spread throughout the world. Your worth can be made manifest. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. We want to represent you well. Lord, I would ask that during this session that you would just help us to learn from your word, the truths that would be helpful to those who have been abused, and that we would be able to just come alongside those who have been horribly, horribly hurt with the sweet compassion of your word, because you are a God of hope and you are the God of all compassion. Please help us now. We're depending on you and we love you so much. Amen. All right, I want to begin our session by just going through a letter with you that was written by a woman who was abused to her abuser. It's a rather intense letter. It probably won't be pleasant to listen to, but I think it does help set the stage for us of just what the struggles are for those who have been victimized by an abuser. To my father, from Barbara. I hate. You filled me with this feeling by abusing me sexually, emotionally, physically, and any other way possible. You destroyed me so that you could get your selfish needs met. To you, I had no needs. You took my joy away, the joy I could have experienced growing up. Everything was centered around you. I grew up haunted with fears, haunted with questions. Are you going to be home? Are you going to get me? Who are you going to get? Do you love me? Why are you being so nice? How can I get away from you? Will someone find out what you're doing to me? Dad, I was a child. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. I trusted you at first. I wanted a father so desperately. I wanted to believe you loved me. I used to say, "This is my father. He must be right." But it was all centered around you, your needs, your sexual needs. I was a child, Dad. Do you know what that is? A little one who's dependent on you to show her the way. Not your way, her way. Oh, how I hate you. You used to ask me if I loved you. Love you? I was never dumb enough to say no, but I never loved you. You would demand respect. There was no respect. I feared and hated you. I saw your ability to hurt others. I can never forget the times I would cry thinking you would kill Mom or one of us. I wanted to kill you. Sometimes I wish I had. You destroyed my ability to sleep, to think, to develop. My nights were horrors. I used to lie awake in bed and worry about whether you were going to come into my room. Sometimes the night fears would overtake me and I would dream or perhaps hallucinate evil things happening. Sometimes you would take me from my room and tell me that I had sleepwalked. You destroyed my trust in my own sanity. I couldn't even develop a conscience. You were nice and gave me gifts for meeting your sexual needs. You punished me when I failed or refused to give you what you wanted. You didn't care about anything else. Then there's my body. It was never mine. It was an object for you to sneer at, to touch, to violate, to please you. I hated my body. I hated the pain you brought it. I couldn't stand your kisses. They repulsed me. Wet slime. I couldn't stand your touch. I used to put a pillow over my face and try to get away in my mind, waiting for you to be finished. You used to whisper sweet words. You may as well have been saying them to yourself. I never believed you loved me. I always knew your hate. And when you were done, there I was alone, filled with repulsion at the thought of your touch, your ugliness. I would scream within myself, I hate him! I hate him! I tried to cry it all out, cry it away, but even when the tears stopped, I would cry within. I found 1,000 ways to hurt myself because of you. You made me addicted to pain. As for joy, I couldn't cope with that feeling. My pain started with your abuse, and I felt that there would never be an end to my pain. I was tied to your life through hate and fear. I could find no way out. I believed there was no way out. I had no self. I had no life. I couldn't get close to anyone. I couldn't trust. I hated everyone, and I hated myself. I felt so alone, unable to speak the truth. I grew up to believe I was ugly. I owned your ugliness. The only things that I could relate to were pain, fear, anger, and abuse. My rage will never go away. I'm sorry you had to listen to that, but I think it does help us understand just what it's like for someone who's been a victim of abuse. And I know that every individual is different, but I think Barbara in her letter describes a lot of things that victims of abuse experience and struggle with. Think about what you would say to Barbara. What would you say to a woman filled with hate from past abuse? I think one of the things that we need to address with Barbara is that God hates wickedness. I think one of the things that we'd want to say to Barbara is, what you have suffered is despicable beyond words. And your response to your sinful father has many similarities to how God responds to sinners. God declares that his soul hates the wicked and those who love violence. God feels the same hate toward your father that you described. God also categorically declares he will avenge. He will repay. God will pour out his wrath on the wicked. And while we don't know specifically what that will look like in individual cases, the thought of being the object of God's wrath should make us tremble. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God and to experience his wrath. For example, in Psalm 11:6, we learn that on the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. in Job 20,